Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin. This is where we bet sports and primarily do it through the lens of live betting, a stock market of sports, if you will, but just something that I hope you find fun, insightful, and at its best profitable. It has certainly been profitable for us these last 3 weeks, and we hope to continue those winning ways. Probably not at the sustainable pace that we've had, quite frankly. It's been a pretty good run, but we hope to give you winners tonight and beyond, of course. Baseball in full effect, third to last day of the regular season. We have the NBA, the Heat, and the Celtics ready to tip off in a half hour. Game five, possible closeout game for the Heat against the Celtics. And then hockey, about to face off in the bubble in Edmonton.
We have some movement here.
And some movement.
Yeah, if you want a tiny bit more favorable price on the Stars, if you were looking for the Stars, it has now moved to Lightning 155, Stars 133. So a small little movement, little movement.
You got me excited.
Well, we were at 160, you know, we were at 163. We've gone to 155 here on the Lightning. So there's a little bit of movement,
Do you appreciate the comparison I made of the Tampa Bay Lightning some time ago in the Stanley Cup bubble in the playoffs? And I think I said it on this show in Primetime Action. They are right now looking exactly what I called them earlier. They're looking like the Virginia Cavaliers that won the NCAA championship a couple years back. That is to say that Virginia lost as a number one seed to a number 16 seed. Had never happened before against UMBC, a commuter school. And, you know, they were a laughing stock, so to speak. Next year, they came back, they won it all in a miraculous, unbelievable run in the NCAA tournament. Tampa Bay Lightning had a historical regular season in hockey last year. Then they got swept right out of the gates in the playoffs by the Columbus Blue Jackets. And here they are now, the subsequent year. They are two games away from winning it all. It feels very Virginia Cavaliers to me.
I hope that you are correct, Gil, because as we know, a little bit of a little ticket here was bought the other night based off of the series price, which is now just, you know, much, much, much different. If we're looking at where we were the other night, we're looking at now minus 560 on the Lightning for the series, Stars plus 445.
Okay. Yeah. Value as Andy McNeil told us last night. Can we go to this game in the Bronx between the Marlins and the Yankees? Because this is, of all the baseball games going on right now, this is the one where teams looking up at the Marlins. And right now, if the playoffs were to begin in the National League, the Marlins would be the sixth seed, having a second place position in the NL Central. But there are teams below them, you know, namely teams like the Reds and the Giants and the Phillies and the Brewers. Mets and Rockies too, mathematically, who are looking at this game and they're thinking, okay, Yankees will take care of the Marlins tonight. That'll make one other spot potentially available. Yankees not cooperating, although Aaron Judge just rockets a shot down the left field line. And so the Yankees are making noise with two out now, down 3-0 in the bottom of the third, runners at second and third. So that's a little glimmer of hope.
A little glimmer of hope.
But the Marlins are getting it done here on the final weekend of the Major League Baseball season. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because that team was in the same breath as the Tigers and the Orioles. I would throw the Giants into the Marlins' same realm of teams that people had no faith in.
Yeah.
Of course, the Giants always have Giants magic. That's something they have.
I didn't discount the Giants strictly because it seems like for whatever reason, they always find a way to win. But I was definitely far, far down on the Marlins to the point where I said it would surprise me if the Marlins won 15 games this year.
Yeah, I lived in the Bay for most of my adult life. So, you know, there is no chance I would ever fade that franchise. Yeah. They just figure out a way. But this Marlins team, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So Derek Jeter, somewhere right now with a grin on his face, saying to himself, are we going to really pull
smoking
this off?
Smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
Sipping on a whiskey.
Good for Derek Jeter. If this holds, of course, not only tonight, but a full weekend of baseball to determine if the Marlins get into the postseason. Other updates, Matt?
Philly's still up 3-1 on the Rays. Of course, the 37-20 Rays. Phillies needing this one here, 3-1. The Braves up 1-0 on the Red Sox. Indians up 1-0 on the Pirates. And then that Padres and Giants game, all important, 1-1 still here in the bottom of the third.
And as I say that, that is Aaron Hicks with a double, two-run RBI double from Aaron Hicks for the Yankees. A two-out shot in the bottom of the third. It is now Marlins 3, Yankees 2. So those teams below the Marlins in the NL are like, okay, Yankees, this is what we're counting on. Nice shot down the right field
line.
And
you brought up, you know, would the Orioles just pack it in? Now 10-0 Jays, 14 hits for the Jays in this thing. So, you know, again, that's why this is just so wacky, right? Like, do the Jays have a letdown because they clinched, or do the Orioles just say, right, meh, we're done?
It's one of those things, and this is gambler psychology. Mm-hmm. So when you see that, your quick knee jerk is, man, I wish I had just been betting the Blue Jays all night long. But you're right. You can't even get mad at yourself, right? Because you could just as easily have said, oh, why would I ever have bet on the Blue Jays tonight? And there was not a moment today where I considered betting on
them. No, me neither. And for everything that you said, because I was looking at this and really we got a sneak peek. And this is kind of what I was worried about last night with the Dodgers, even though, you know, it worked out for them. But it seems like these guys are going to get in there 45 to 55, 60-ish pitches, and then they're going to be getting out of the game, you know? Yeah. And so at that point, they're just getting their guys work in, and then it becomes a bullpen game. And, you know, we've seen weird things happen with bullpen, so that's why I just really didn't touch anything tonight.
Well, and I should point out, it's not like the Blue Jays don't have anything to play for, right? This is the quirky rules of the 60-game schedule. The Blue Jays are two games behind the Yankees headed into tonight. The Blue Jays well on their way to victory. The Yankees here nip and tuck with the Marlins in the third. Only two games back, meaning that mathematically the Blue Jays could overtake the Yankees in terms of seeding. They could take second position technically in the AL East, and that would change, you know, that would essentially flip-flop their position with the Yankees 5-8 in the American League playoffs once they start next week. But then the question becomes, are we overthinking it? Do those teams even care about that? In other words, is there someone in the Blue Jays organization right now who's like, okay, we don't want to play the Rays. We'd much rather play the White Sox or the Twins or whoever ends up not winning the AL Central. I don't know if they're making that calculus. And the same thing with the Bronx Bombers. They probably think it doesn't matter who they play. They're the better baseball team. So I don't know.
I definitely think the latter is true. I think that, yeah, I think the Yankees are like,
don't care.
Whatever.
Whoever shows up, we'll play
them. We're better than them anyway, top to bottom.
Because they can't win the division.
Right.
So, and who knows if you even cared about that this year? I don't know at this point. Right. Yankees 5 games back of the Rays, so they cannot win the division. Rays have clinched the AL East. But there it is on the screen at MSG Plus. That's the AL East standings. Rays and Yankees would be in as the 1-2 automatic. Jays right now one of the two other best teams in baseball. So right now they're in the 8th position, but again, as the Blue Jays go and the Yankees go, they could overtake the Yankees, and all that I just said would play out that way. But again, if I don't know that those teams care, If my bets are, here's how I would put it. If my bets are not aligned with the motivations of the teams I'm betting on, then it's a non-bet.
Right. No, absolutely.
So
yeah, I think it's a good way to go about it. Yeah. And one of the cool things we've talked about here is you can monitor how these lines move. And while this game isn't tonight, just something that we'll keep you kind of up to date on here. That line in the game between the Lakers and the Nuggets just moved to 5.
Tomorrow night.
Yes, just moved to 5.
So Nuggets money.
Yes, Nuggets money coming in, and that line moved 23 minutes ago. So we know exactly when it moved. Moved to 5.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's at DraftKings. But now, as we saw with in-game numbers in that series, though, there is a massive amount of public money that comes in on the Lakers, regardless of the situation. So I'm guessing that's just a brief, momentary move in time, and that we may see it come back. Just a hunch.
Probably by the end of the show.
Maybe by the end of the show, for goodness sake.
5? Man, I'd be on Lakers on 5.
You just want to bet the Lakers. You're just looking for reasons to bet the Lakers, aren't you?
It's worked out okay so far.
Yeah.
So Kelly, if you want to, we will let you make this a play right now. We will let you make this a play. Log it and we'll talk
goading,
about it on Monday.
Goading you into it. You want to make that play, Kelly? Is it that attractive? Minus 5?
We'll talk about it on Monday.
All right, Matt.
There it is. There it
is. I feel like we're getting quick to it might be a Matt Kelly straight up side bet again that we've done before. The way Matt's saying this, I don't know.
No. I mean, I have a lean towards the Lakers as well. I just you felt the urge to pop on and say like, hey, I kind of like him at 5. I'm like, well, you know what? Let's go ahead.
I think you guys are right. I don't think we're seeing 5 anywhere before that game starts again. I think I'll be momentary at DraftKings.
I feel compelled to say this, though, about this series. And I said it the other night, too. And it's just sort of Gamblers are weird people. Can we establish that on this show?
Oh, yeah.
Gamblers are not your normal cross section of human being.
I'm weird. You're weird.
We're weird. Yeah. There, you know, things go, things swirl through our heads. And we, by the way, like to consider ourselves less weird than others. Maybe. So with the Lakers, people who do not like that franchise, people who are fading them betting-wise, people, let's say, who have Nugget series tickets, part of what they see is through the prism of their bets because we are flawed as humans. And so perhaps their take on things gets colored. Maybe it's justified, maybe it's not. And what I'm getting at is when you watch Lakers games, and a little of this happened last night, we saw it earlier in the series, it's the second time there was a spate of fouls on the Nuggets in a very condensed period of time. Remember we saw it in the first half earlier in the series where everybody was in foul trouble and you're like, really? Is this really happening? Beginning of the fourth quarter last night, a lot of fouls on the Nuggets, if I'm recalling exactly what it was exactly last night. Lakers bettors always seem, according to some, to have that going for them. Is that a thing or not a thing, Kelly? Thing or not a thing?
Good call. Thing.
I think
definite
it's a thing.
Thing.
Yeah, I think it's a thing.
Thing.
I don't think those people are crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
Thing. We're not suggesting that there's, you know, we thought without crowds, right? The reason that home teams in the NBA playoffs get through to the next round at a higher rate than in any other major American sport in the postseason, one of the theories is the crowd is so close in a normal year, pre-2020 pandemic, the crowd is so close to the court that referees, who are human beings after all.
They are.
Referees are human beings after all.
And kickers are too now.
They get,
after Buckner made the 58-yarder.
And Matt Carlson has acknowledged
kickers
them.
Are too. I have to keep acknowledging.
The theory is that they get influenced by, because they're humans, and they get influenced by the home crowd and screaming and all that for one side. But there is not that here now, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are only virtual fans, right? And it's a bubble. To think that could still exist in a bubble? Still a thing?
I think that there is still a thing of there's more influence from LeBron James barking about a call than Jeremy Grant.
I would agree with that. Even I, who have no skin in some of these games, there are times where there will be contact on a Nuggets player that will go unwhistled. Unwhistled, not being a word, but you know what I mean. And then LeBron, I mean, he will get the benefit. He really will. Like, it is a thing.
He's also learned how to sell it pretty good.
Sure. And at the same time, like I'm also the guy that with you talk Shaq, LeBron, that they're so physical that honestly they probably get fouled really more than they actually get called, you know. But in the in the clutch moments, it always seems like, oh, that's a foul now, I guess.
And I don't want to suggest this is easy for officials either, because remember the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, I thought the biggest issue with that team besides their otherworldly talent was that Shaq was playing a sport that was impossible to officiate correctly, right?
Right.
Like if Shaq barreled in, not barreled, but if he just touched you, you'd go flying, right? An opponent might go flying, but it's just Shaq being the size and the strength that he was. Right. He's very difficult to
and especially judge. In that era, right? Like there just were not very many 7 foot, 310 pound guys. I mean, it just was like, he was kind of like one of a kind, essentially.
And I view LeBron a little bit the same way as far as when he came into the league, the combination of size and speed, it was, you know, I mean, how often through, I mean, it's been his whole career where we're like, stop settling for jump shots, just go to the rim, you'll get a call because you're so big and so fast, someone's going to make contact with you.
But how many times in this series, seriously, have you been, when something like when LeBron draws a foul, do you go, oh, come on?
I mean, multiple
there's
times.
Been a few of
with everything that I just like, said, oh, yes, really? Multiple times.
Yeah, so, and I don't want to have skin in the game.
When we're driving home, when we're leaving the studio, sometimes and you're listening to NBA radio, I think they rotate between the two different teams' feeds. Like, I think they alternate, and I caught I did catch the Nuggets feed on the way home one night, and
it was
something else. It was great. It was one of the most entertaining listens I've had, because anytime LeBron would do anything, it was just this 45-second rant. On like, they did not hold back.
I didn't even know that. So,
they did not hold back at all. And it was just like this 45-second rant every single time. Like, cut LeBron. LeBron. And they're like, he's 265 pounds of solid muscle. Yeah. He's out there limping around, like whatever and all that stuff. And it's like,
well, and that's the hard thing, right? Because that's easy to react to that and say, oh, well, they're home announcers. Mm. Of course, they want the Nuggets to win. And that's right. But it's also two things can be true.
Right.
That can be true. And they could also be right about it as well. So that's tomorrow night. Game 5, that is a possible closeout game of the Western Conference Final between the Nuggets and the Lakers. Lakers lead that series 3-1. All right, if I came to you from the future, gentlemen, and I said to you, either the Celtics or the Nuggets came back from their 3-1 deficit, one of them did. If I came to you from the future and I said, guys, guess what? One of them came back. Who would that team be, the Celtics or the Nuggets?
Celtics, easy.
Celtics.
Ooh, that was easier than I thought.
Easy for me. I
really? The Nuggets who already came back from 3-1 twice, never before done?
Yeah.
Was that easy for you to say Celtics?
But I was going to ask this before. Is that become enough of a public narrative, and I guess I would say more sports talk shows that don't discuss gambling like we do?
Yeah.
Has the whole 3-1 thing, is that really a part of the reason why we're seeing -5 in this game instead of 6.5, 7 that we've seen in some of these other games?
Well, if that's so, it's ridiculous.
I mean, like, that's part of what rang in my head when Matt first said that line, and I was like, is that possibly true?
Anybody betting that because they think the Nuggets are therefore more
instantly
motivated.
Play better because
that's ridiculous.
3-1. I would hope so.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, you guys were quick to say the Celtics. The follow-up question, because we do things through betting, the follow-up question would be like, okay, that's wonderful that you answered the question, and I get it. I asked it, so you had to answer it. But would you bet that? Would you bet the Celtics on the series price right now?
No, but I'm already, it's unfair for guys. I'm already invested in the Heat.
See what he did there?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry.
Because I think both of the teams that are up 3-1 are the superior teams.
Right.
And clearly the superior teams in these series.
Celtics 4-1 on the series price. Nuggets 16-1. Celtics are only 4-1.
I think that right there speaks to how good of a team they are. I think that even that line is still too short to me they're down
would
two
you
games.
Lay -560 on the Heat to win this? All they have to do is win one of the next three games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too. I'm not going to, but.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to, but yeah.
I'm going to make that clear. We're having too much fun betting these in-game game to game than to do something like that. But and Kelly, as he mentioned, has the 75-1. For those of you just tuning in, young Kelly Bidlin has a 75-1 ticket on the Heat to win it all. So he could be leaving us in a couple weeks because he will have so much money that there's no reason for him to come into work. That's a possibility. I think you're going to cash that, by the way. I think the Heat are winning the NBA championship.
That's interesting. We could have some interesting hedging discussions maybe on Monday, perhaps.
Oh, we could start it right now because I think that's a great conversation. We will get more into it next week when it becomes more of a tangible conversation if the Heat get past the Boston Celtics. But hedging, what Kelly is referring to is he's got the 75-1 ticket. At what point does he consider, if he considers at all, the possibility of locking in money or at least guaranteeing that he won't lose money? His choice. Or not hedging at all.
And my initial thoughts, I really haven't spent much time thinking about it because I was just riding the Heat ticket to this point. I would hedge at least a bit, but I don't think it's going to be much.
See,
I know it's not a popular opinion.
You're going to have my opinion. I know you are.
Like, I know it's not a popular opinion, but like, I like to lock in at least a steak dinner or something. Like, I'm not the guy who's just going to I'm not the guy that's just going to like completely let it ride because that's, you know, what you're supposed to do if you played it out.
That's what you're supposed to do mathematically.
You know, I'm not going to play it out a million times. I'm not going to play it out 1,000 times.
So I'm the guy who is more, you're very risk tolerant too, so I want to put it that way. I don't look to hedge unless there's a specific reason to hedge. In other words, you made the bet. Now, you thought Russell Westbrook was going to end up with the Heat. That's a whole different story.
Then we can move on,
Well, you have the ticket in the first place. But let's say Kelly made it, and he's like, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen. Well, there's nothing that's played out on the court that is in any way counter to what you thought originally, right, in that case. Unless there's an injury, like if Bam's wrist was messed up worse than they're letting on. Okay, that's a different story. But if there's no injury, And there's nothing that's changed in your handicap, I don't know why you even think about hedging. The only other reason, now this is sort of where human reality comes in, unless it's such a large amount of money that you stand to win, and let's just throw out a round number, you don't stand to win $100,000.
No, no, it's not.
But whatever.
Not very big. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, $100,000 might be a massive amount of money to some people. $1 million might be to someone else. $10,000, for goodness sake, might be to somebody else.
Yeah, it's all
else.
Relative to the
it's
person.
It's all relative to the person. Whatever that life-changing amount of money is, then you have, then I get it. You want to hedge, you want to lock in something, I totally get it. But short of it being a life-changing amount of money or anything different happening in the handicap, an injury or what have you, I don't really look to run to hedge. But it's a very personal thing.
My initial thought would be exactly basically what Matt said, is I'd like to hedge off enough to celebrate one night. You know what I mean? That's
don't lose your stake. How about that?
Right, that's the thing with me. It's like if I've waited all season long here and like I have a chance
14
to
months.
No matter what, make a little bit to make some money. Yeah. And it's like at the end, if you just it just like goes out with a whimper, you're just kind of like, well, why didn't I at least get to go to, you know, the nice steakhouse over here and
that's
have like
right. You know, Michael's here at the South like Point. I've always wanted to go there.
Yeah.
All right, you know, Matt, you hedge so we all can go with you. On you. No, I think this is a great discussion for if and when the Heat get through the Celtics. We can have that discussion game by game, whoever the Heat in that event end up playing. I hope that I could have that discussion with the Blue Jays 200-1 ticket, but I got to get them through the best of three to even start with that discussion. But should be fun throughout October. It's VSiN's primetime action powered by DraftKings. Hockey's underway, basketball next.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a no-brainer odds boost of 100-1 on any pro football team to win in week 3. It's easy. Just sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code VSIN, bet $1 on any team to win in week 3. And if they do, you win $100. Don't forget to use code VSIN when you sign up. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app for offer details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Gil, Matt.
Thank you, Danielle. I like a good hedging conversation that we just had. That's good stuff because you know what? It's a look into your soul.
Oh yeah,
and other things.
I mean, the other part that makes it more difficult for me to want to hedge is when you start looking at what potential series prices are going to be for Lakers Heat and. Honestly, I think they're a little mispriced. I think the Heat has some value on the series prices that I've been seeing.
Oh, I totally agree. Like, if you don't hold a Heat futures ticket, you will have opportunity to still get a nice price on the Heat here coming up. Because the Lakers, we use this term, we should probably define what we're talking about. When we talk about public teams, we're talking about, in betting parlance, teams that the general public just love. They're legacy teams in sports. The New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, the Dallas Cowboys, the Cubs, and of course, a team like the Los Angeles Lakers. And so they tend to be bet in a way that you're, you know, less than, you know, that mere mortal teams don't get bet,
absolutely,
if you will.
Yeah, this you are going to get the opportunity for sure to like to hedge, but it's near. I don't know if you're going to be getting maybe what you should in this, you know. I mean, I don't know, it's gonna be.
We talked about a little bit last week of the, you know, is a LeBron AD NBA Finals MVP, you know, a way of doing that a bit. Maybe I don't know if I love that, but
yeah. We got to pump the brakes on the Heat getting there because the Celtics are a good basketball team, and I think they show up in a big way tonight, and we'll see if there's an opportunity to get in on the Heat. So we'll save the rest of the hedging for when the Heat, if and when the Heat actually do advance. Lightning and Stars are underway, Mateo. 17-17 left in the first period. We are scoreless. Just underway.
We have, picked, oddly enough, -177 Lightning on the live line here.
A little bit higher.
Yeah.
Big straddle between the favorite and the dog here on the in-game. That, by the way, that's another conversation we should just stumble into. So pre-flop lines, the best for the better are baseball dime lines. That's a sort of a hack way of saying a favorite's minus 120, a dog is plus 110. That minus 120 plus mm-hmm. 110, we refer to as a dime line. That's more beneficial for the better, typically, than what we see on in-game lines, where right now, take, for example, the Lightning and the Stars. Lightning, 0-0 game. Instead of the pre-flop line, which was minus 150-ish and plus 135-ish, mm-hmm. a 15-cent straddle, now we're seeing on the in-game, it's minus 177 plus 138.
Yeah.
So that's less beneficial to the better. We won't bore you with the math because we don't want to get too far into those weeds. But generally, people who are against in-game betting, sort of a knee-jerk response is, yeah, but the lines are harder to beat. All right, well, that's true. Mm. But as we've shown on this show time and time again, just wait for a better number.
And we have information as well. Like we've been given information. Yeah. So, like, you know, we're paying a little bit for that information.
That's such a thing of, oh, they're harder to beat. You know, technically you're right.
Yeah.
When people say that, but it always drives me crazy because they don't then say, comma, mm-hmm. but for all the reasons we just stated. Yeah. And you're right. I'll pay an extra.
Yeah, for information, for sure.
For information, or I'll just wait for it to get to a better mm-hmm. number and pay a couple extra pennies for a far better number. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, for every better, there's a different philosophy, but that would be ours anyway on this set. Phillies 4, Tampa Bay 1. Phillies, much needed win tonight in that one. But the Tampa Bay Rays are making some noise in the bottom of the fifth, runners at second and third with one out down 4-1. The Orioles are on the board. It's no longer 10-0. Call it 10-3. Here come the Orioles. Yes.
Roaring back the Orioles in that one. As you mentioned, 3-2 still in the Marlins and the Yankees game, which, of course, a lot of people wishing that Marlins team would go down. Mm-hmm. We are 1-1 in Braves Red Sox if you had some money on that one. Indians up 1-0 on the Pirates. Giants take a 2-1 lead there on the Padres there in game one. It looks like the Padres ended up starting Paddock in game one here as opposed to game two. He is on the hill for them, giving up 6 hits already.
Yeah. And Cardinals take an early 1-0 lead after 1 second of a doubleheader where the Brewers took game one earlier tonight. We're coming back. It's VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.
How confident are you betting on this weekend's football games? Look, there's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this weekend. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the College Football Betting Guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all our shows, hosts, and guests, plus you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. And in a rare interview on the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen discusses his 9,000th win. Handicapper Bob Ike focuses on the grade one races at Santa Anita, and Dwayne Colucci has his own forecast of weekend cards. You can get it on Apple, Google, iHeart, Spotify, Stitcher, and at vsin.com/podcast. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is sponsored by First Bet. Gil.
Thank you, Danielle. People have no idea how solid a professional Danielle is.
Oh.
If they only knew.
Oh. It's the MSG plus subscription.
Yes.
Where you would see.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. The double plus subscription.
Philadelphia 4, Tampa Bay 3 now. Bottom of the fifth. Sac Fly gets it to a one-run game. That is a game that Tampa Bay has no motivation to win. They're already locked into the AL East crown. Philadelphia needs it badly.
Philly got one in the top of the fifth and gave it back in the bottom of the fifth there. So this is Vince Velasquez still on the hill. Actually just got replaced. Vince Velasquez getting pulled. As you mentioned, this is a must-win, Gil. So Vince Velasquez, giving up runs, you're out of here.
Yeah, and again, I shouldn't, when I say Tampa Bay has no reason to win this, I should qualify that because that's not exactly true. Yes, they've won the AL East. They're two ahead of Minnesota. So again, do they care about the number one seed or not? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
I think if you asked them in public, they, of course,
absolutely.
You care. Yes. Behind the scenes, whatever. It's fine.
I don't really care.
We don't get any bonus out of this.
Let's do some more week one games because we'll never get through them unless we continue. Full slate, no buys yet. San Francisco at the Giants. This is a game that obviously is just a shell of what it could have been. No Saquon Barkley. He is out for the year, obviously. Sorry about that, Giants fans. Just a brutal, brutal hand dealt to Saquon Barkley and the New York Giants. San Francisco, obviously, with a spate of injuries. And Nick Bosa out for the
year. Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, Jimmy Garoppolo, Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, Dee Ford, George Kittle, all out.
Wow. Debo's back at least?
No, he's still in IR.
Debo's still out.
Still in IR. Also on the Giants side, Sterling Shepard, turf toe, moved to IR as well. So this is just two teams, MASH units, going at it here.
Spread is down to what, 3.5?
And guess what?
And there's some threes out there.
For the second week in a row, I'm back in the Giants. I can't even believe a team that I didn't think I was going to back one time this whole season and 2 weeks in a row.
Tell the truth. You have no idea how it got there last week, how you got that win.
No.
And they had the ball to win late, the Giants.
Were we
in their
all
game
on
against the Bears?
Were we all on that?
I was not on that.
Okay, yeah, because I was on that. It was a really gross bet, yeah. But it got there.
Yeah, we got
it's even grosser this week. But I kind of lean with you, Matt.
I'm on the Giants again.
What number did you get
again this week? Four.
Four.
I got it at four.
Was 6.5, now 3.5.
And that's the problem, Gil. I'm not playing it at this point because I'm not going to watch it take down to 3.5, 3 and fire then.
Look, I have no idea how this San Francisco team is going to function. Also, I mean, look, Mullins has starts in the NFL. I get that. That's fine. Who is he throwing the ball to? Yeah, I mean, I guess Jordan Reed is going to be out there, you know,
Every Washington football team fan hears that and goes, oh, now you're going to stay on the field.
Yeah.
And Jordan Reed has had injuries, but then more seriously, he's had concussions, which is obviously not a laughing matter. And he's out there. Good for him. I hope he's okay. I really hope nothing happens to him.
I mean, when he's on the field, phenomenal talent.
He's impossible to cover.
Phenomenal talent.
Yeah.
Outside of him, just no playmakers for this team at all. And like, if you look at this Giants team, the defense, it's really, can the defense hold this B squad to 17 points? Because I think that the Giants can score 20-21 on the B squad defense here. So basically that's kind of how this all comes. As we mentioned, Patriots moved to 6. Just flashes.
There it is.
Yeah.
From 5.5 to 6.
Yeah. So we said it was not going to last long. It did not last the duration of this show.
There it is.
So I'm actually going to be on the Giants here +4. I feel pretty good about it too. I mean, I actually thought about it. Can't do it now that it's moved to 3.5. I kind of thought about taking that 4-10 in a teaser in a game that is sitting at a total of 42. So giving me 10 points in a game in a game with a 42 total. Can't get there now. Maybe it'll get back to 4. Don't know. Probably not. But if it did, could I interest you in getting the Giants to 10?
No. I took Kansas City on my teaser to get them through to a higher number +9.5. And then I took the Rams through the 3 and 7 gets 8.5 as my teaser. Rams and Chiefs. So no, you cannot interest me.
Interest you in a +10 on the New York Football Giants, in a game with a 42 total.
You try to tempt me.
That'd be tough. If it gets back to 4, it's going to be tough for me not to put that in a leg.
Let's squeeze in one more here. Cincinnati at Philadelphia. Philadelphia favored by 4.5. The Eagles need to get off the schneid. Is this a game where? Which part do you believe more on narrative here? Cincinnati will be the proverbial backdoor cover team where Burrow and company will do just enough to cover the number, if not, you know, not necessarily winning games. Or getting back to our narrative earlier in the show, remember what you thought about the Eagles 2 weeks ago. Try not to let the last 2 weeks sway you. They're a better football team in every way than Cincinnati.
Carson Wentz ranks 32 out of qualified quarterbacks in Pro Football Focus passing grade.
Is that good?
30th in yards per attempt, 31st in passer rating. He is last in percentage of passes charted as considered accurate. And he also has more turnover-worthy plays than any other quarterback in the NFL through the first 2 weeks. Now, it's only 2 week sample size, but all those are very, very bad.
That ain't good. None of those.
All those are very, very terrible here.
You're telling me you're not touching this game, basically.
Actually, I took the Bengals at 6.
Oh, you
when
did?
It was at 6.
Okay.
When it was at
future
6.
Future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Future Hall of Famer Joe Burrow, according to Matt.
Well, I had a feeling it was going to go the other way. I don't bet too many games very early in the week, but I had a feeling this one was going to be on the move, and it was. So, not a big play. Small play for me on Bengals at 6, and strictly because I think they can keep this competitive with what has been a really, really bad Eagles team so far. Jalen Reagor now out for them as well, so lacking all kinds of playmakers.
Jalen Reagor, a curious draft pick where he was picked. Jalen Hurts, a curious draft pick where he was picked in the second round. Little maybe reaches, perhaps, for the Eagles. I don't know. Reagor looked good, though, when he was on the field. We'll do more week three NFL games, of course, and we will sweat out Kelly's first quarter bet between the Celtics and the Heat and update hockey and baseball. It's VSiN's primetime action, powered by DraftKings.
The DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers receive a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up and start betting with the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's that easy. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code VSIN, and get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook for full details. Gil.
Dallas Stars are not going away. They draw first blood tonight. 1-0 lead over the Lightning. It was John Klingberger scored 7:17 into the first period. Stars 1, Lightning 0. Live line update on that?
-159 on the Stars, +125 on the Lightning. We have the live total still sitting at 5. However, if you want the over, -130.
-159 on the Stars. Young Gil may get in on that.
Liking the Stars, do you?
One
did the
goal
Stars
lead.
Burn you the other day?
They did. And it wasn't
just
even close.
Refresh my memory?
Okay. They were a huge dog. They were actually, when I bet it, they weren't a huge dog. They were somewhat of a dog. They were down a goal and then they just got run out.
Okay. But they're not in the doghouse for you. They're not on timeout.
And not on timeout. I'm gonna wait till the end of the period before I make a wager. Cardinals up on the Brewers 3-0, second of a doubleheader, I should say. Milwaukee won earlier. Cardinals now, as I mentioned, middle of the second up 3-0, a game that the Brewers need far more than the Cardinals do.
Billy's holding on to that 4-3 lead. They did get out of that bottom of the fifth, with a lead against the Rays. It was heading to the top of the sixth here, 4-3.
Danielle, you have some stuff for us.
I have NFC win totals.
Let's
there we
do
go.
It.
All right. Let's see. Packers over 10 at +118 or under at -143. In the preseason, they were at 8.5. They're up to 10 now.
So let's explain to people what this is. And a shout out, a just absolute shout out to DraftKings for having this.
I felt bad that I wasn't as excited as you the other day. I feel like
Kelly said he's never seen me as excited about anything in my life.
In my time working with you, Gil, I have never seen you as excited about a bet being posted somewhere as this one.
Well, you should have seen me when John Riggins broke free in Super Bowl 17. But what DraftKings is doing here, they are providing a win totals market in the NFL, not just before the season starts, but week to week. I love this. This is so great. You don't see this. Now, hopefully, DraftKings will be a trailblazer in this. As far as the Packers, that's per our discussion earlier. Are the Packers better than the team we talked about in the offseason, where one of the points, right, was, hey, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, besides Devontae Parker, he's got nobody to throw to. Oh, and by the way, they won a lot of one-score games last year, so they're probably not as good as they looked. And now they're 2-0, and everybody's like, oh, they're the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. So would you bet them at 10 under or over?
I mean, so look, big test this week against the Saints. We'll preview that game a little bit later, but it looks like it's going to be without Devontae Adams in the game. So, I mean, that's going to be a big, big test for them. Then
huge loss.
Then they're going to have the Falcons, which should be a win, right? Going by. Then the stretch gets kind of interesting here because you go Bucks, Texans, Vikings, which we're not very high on, 49ers, Jaguars, and Colts. So, I mean, all these teams that kind of started to underperform that people thought were going to be much better than they were. So it's an interesting kind of stretch right there. It's, even if you lose to the Bucks, Texans, Vikings, 49ers, Jaguars, Colts, five very winnable games.
Right, but 10 even means that they've got to be 11-5 or better. 11-5 is like you're a really good football team.
It is.
So for me, it's under or nothing.
Okay.
But I don't think I'd bet it. Yeah, I could see a push.
A push.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So not a bet.
What about this Cardinals team that you guys love so much? 2-0.
Over.
It's up to 9 from 7.
Over.
Why did people underestimate them so much in the preseason, having them at 7 wins?
Well, because I don't think people were sold on Kyler Murray quite yet, even though he was great. You know, as far as rookie seasons go, he was certainly awesome.
Sure.
You know, there's nothing he did that would have anybody say, I don't know that was not a successful rookie season. He's got DeAndre Hopkins now. They're 2-0. They've banked two wins already. To me, that's an over or nothing. I would be more, and it's over and plus money.
Mm-hmm.
Over that's plus 123. Yep. The problem, as Matt stated the other night, though, is they play in the best division in football.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they got to play the Seahawks and the Rams and the Niners multiple times in those cases. So that's what makes that tough, but it's over or nothing for me.
Yeah, they already have the win over the Niners, of course, but then they don't get the Niners again until week 16, so it could be an actual healthy version of the 49ers when they get them back again, and then they close out against the Rams in week 17. So there's, I think a lot is going to be riding kind of on.
But they could, I mean, I'm pointing at the screen at MSG Plus, but as we talked about, will you take a 5-0 team at over 9, I would.
Because
they got the Lions at the Panthers at the Jets. I'll take that every time over 9.
They still have the Dolphins when they come out of the bye. They still have the Giants on the schedule.
I've amended it. I'm taking the over.
Okay. So speaking of the 49ers, do you like the under 9.5 wins at plus 103, plus money there?
Let you take this one, Matt.
Yeah, obviously. Of course.
Obviously. Yes.
Listen. This team, it's going to be tough to get out of this stretch here without, you know, I mean, how long are these guys going to be injured? I mean, look at the stretch of games here does not get that much easier. Yeah, you get the Giants this week, and again, I'm not very high on the Eagles, and then you get the Dolphins, but then it's Rams, Patriots, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, bye, Rams, Bills. I mean, in theory, all losable games.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to lose them all. But in theory, they'll probably be underdogs in every one of those games.
And, to use the German, these things are correlated, right? If I am bullish on the Cardinals, it stands to reason that someone else in their division I ought to be bearish about.
Right.
That team would be the 49ers.
Okay, let's go out of the division then. You mentioned the Eagles, 2 ugly losses, dropped to 7.5.
If they don't get any better, if they don't get better quarterback play.
What a terrible division.
I mean, yeah. If they don't get better quarterback play out of Carson Wentz, I mean, I don't see any way. I mean, really and truly, I mean, you kind of look here, the back half of the schedule is not good for this team. It is. How'd you like this stretch here if you were sweating an over ticket? The stretch of Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Cardinals, Cowboys.
That's brutal.
To close out the, I mean.
And then the Washington football team.
Yeah,
but yes,
the Washington football
one of these things is not the same as the others. But yeah, weeks 12 through 16, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Cardinals, Cowboys. Stop it.
And you're trying to sweat out an over ticket?
Yeah,
like, no way. It's an under a pass for me, for sure.
Is that why you're getting it at equal money at that point? The over 7.5 on the Eagles?
They see the schedule too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they
the writing's know. On the wall there. Buccaneers, over 9 or under? The under at plus 110?
I don't want any part of that one. Because I still don't know what we have with the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I really, and I still don't know what, I mean, are we going to talk about Tom Brady like we are about Drew Brees right now, which is, wow, I don't know if he can get the ball downfield. Tom Brady's 43, Drew Brees is 41. There's no shame in that. I'm not trying to hate on them, right? But I just don't know what we have in the Buccaneers yet, so I wouldn't bet that.
Yeah, I do want to see a little bit more from this team. So many offensive weapons is the thing. I mean, like, if they can get clicking on the offensive side here, I mean, this is actually a pretty good defense. This Buccaneers defense can play. So if the offense can match what the defense brings to the table, would be something probably I'd be interested in. But then at the same time, that number's not going to be around if the offense ends up matching the defense.
Sure. Well, so Gil said he wants to stay away from this. That reminds me, earlier you said you want to stay as far away from that Bears-Falcons game this weekend.
Yes.
Bears 2-0. Over at 8.5, equal money. Can I interest you?
You may not interest me, Danielle.
I can't imagine why.
I just can't bet. And I'm sure, listen, I'm sure Mitch Trubisky is a wonderful guy, and I'm sure, his family is lovely. But I'm not going to bet on him to go over. I don't trust that. So, yeah, no, not over. I listen, they've already banked two wins, so I'm not rushing to bet the under either on that.
I mean, look, so the Lions secondary, and listen, he got the Lions in a secondary that in the second half of that game, the entire starting secondary had to leave the field, right? So he got that. Then he gets the Giants, one of the weaker defenses in all the NFL, and they could have lost that game.
That's
outright.
Right. They could be 0-2.
Right. He gets
they really could.
He gets the Falcons this week. And then it changes, right? You know, and then it changes. Then it's going to be the Colts. Then it's going to be the Bucks. Then he's going to get the Rams, the Saints, the Titans, all in this next little stretch right here. That's going to be loss, 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 loss. This Bears team, the perception of this Bears team is going to change a lot over the next few weeks here. Even if they somehow come out of this Falcons game with a win, it's going to change a lot. So, I mean, I'm not rushing to bet anything on this Bears team over.
Okay, now let me ask you. So I'm going to take you back to NFC West. Do you have to pick one of these NFC West teams on these win totals that you like? Or if you think you know how these are going to play out, could you bet on a couple of them in the NFC West?
Because you could, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Because is it the most difficult? Because it's arguably the most competitive?
Well, I mean, there's definitely correlation, right? Mm-hmm. So if you feel strongly about one, mm-hmm. it stands to reason that you might feel strongly the other way about another. Okay. So you don't have to, but yeah, there's sense to that for betting multiple teams. Yeah, in per division.
Stars up 2-0, by the way.
2-0 Stars. Game 4, Stars trying to equalize. Why did I say I would wait?
Now you can't get
in, Gil. There's no way I can get in.
Minus 435.
I missed my moment. This is what happens sometimes. You get a little too cute sometimes. Maybe I got a little too cute. 2-0 Stars. So that bet has gotten away from me. Okay.
But some of the best bets are the ones you don't make.
Yes, although in this case, I would just say I missed the opportunity.
I was just trying to make you feel better.
No, okay. I know. Thank you. By the way, Phillies not good. Tampa Bay has tied that game up 4-4. The Phillies and the Rays. Marlins hanging tough. 3-2, still up in the top of the seventh. And in basketball, is it
Heat up 11-5? Celtics just 1-9 from the field.
Yeah, in a game that 11. Is in a game that is pacing low in terms of the total. Heat 11, Celtics 5, just a little more than halfway through, just a little less, I should say, than halfway through the first quarter. Kelly sweating already. We'll come back. VSiN's primetime action, powered by DraftKings.